You're listening to LawPod UK from the creators of the UK Human Rights Blog. It's a podcast that discusses developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. LawPod UK is produced by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row and is presented by Rosalind English.
The rules governing the right of residence in the United Kingdom are complicated, to say the least. As long as this country remains in the European Union, one option includes an application under the Immigration European Economic Area Regulations, which offers a route for the family of an EU citizen to apply for a United Kingdom residence card. But the law in this area concerning the right of appeal has been on the move, as barrister Jonathan Metzer explains. So, Jonathan, who exactly has the right of appeal under these regulations?
Hi, Rosalind. Thank you very much for having me on this podcast. The regulations spring from the fundamental principle that EEA nationals have the right to free movement. And this includes within it a right to free movement for their dependent family members as well. But the regulations draw a distinction between the family members and the extended family members of the EEA national. A spouse, a direct descendant, which includes stepchildren, who is either dependent or under 21, and a dependent in the direct ascending line, and that includes in-laws, counts as a family member, and a refusal decision against a family member uncontroversially confers a right of appeal. But non-married partners and other relatives, for example, grown-up children, are defined only as extended family members. And the question of whether an extended family member has a right of appeal is a bit more complicated. As an aside, it's interesting to note that British citizens do not normally count as EEA nationals under the regulations. The reason for this is that the core EU law principle that underpins the residents' rights in the regulations is about free movement. The logic is that a British citizen is not normally using free movement rights merely by being in the UK. As a result, the family of a British citizen only gain the right of residence under the regulations in certain circumstances, and this involves applying what is known as the principle in Surinder Singh. But this, I think, is beyond the scope of today's podcast. Maybe we'll do one about that in the future.
Yes, we'll probably have to revisit the subject anyway because of what is coming up. What you've described to me is a view that had to be adjusted when the Upper Tribunal decided the case of Salah in 2016.
That's right. That case involved an appeal against the refusal of a residence card brought by an Albanian who is the non-married partner of a Slovakian living in the UK. So as you can see, Mr. Salah was only an extended family member because he wasn't married. In that case, the Secretary of State agreed that Mr. Salah had a right of appeal, but rather surprisingly, the tribunal held that he didn't. How, you might ask, did the tribunal get there? The answer is that it preferred the submissions of its amicus curiae. An amicus curiae, which literally translates as a friend to the court, is a non-party who can be asked to assist the court in making its decision in difficult cases. And in that case, the amicus argued that the true construction of the 2006 regulations required that the refusal of a residence card did not generate a right of appeal. And so the Upper Tribunal held that extended family members had no right of appeal against the refusal to issue a residence card.
But of course, a right of appeal to a properly constituted court is not the only way of challenging a decision, is it?
That's right. If you can't appeal, you can still bring a claim for judicial review. But it is harder for an applicant to succeed in judicial review. Unlike in an appeal, judicial review does not normally involve oral evidence, and the scope for fact-finding tends to be narrower. Also, the Secretary of State has an additional procedural protection. The applicant first needs to receive permission to apply for judicial review by showing that they have an arguable case. So although the decision can still be challenged, it's harder to do so successfully.
That's what we're left with. Slightly more stringent process of judicial review as opposed to appeal. But then things changed again last year in 2017, didn't they?
Yes, on the 9th of November, the tectonic plates moved again. In a case called Khan, the Court of Appeal held that Saleh had been wrongly decided, and it made clear that a decision refusing a residence card to an extended family member under the 2006 regulations was a decision that generated the ordinary right of appeal to the first-tier tribunal.
And just to remind ourselves, the first-tier tribunal is one of these courts, or describing a series of courts that deal with appeals from all sorts of decisions across the board, not just immigration appeals.
So when I'm talking about the right of appeal, I'm talking about an appeal to the first-tier tribunal. The first-tier tribunal can hear all sorts of cases, but the bit of it that we're interested in is what's called the Immigration and Asylum Chamber, and that deals with immigration and asylum appeals under EU law, as well as all sorts of other kinds of immigration appeals, such as human rights appeals. Judicial review, on the other hand, in this kind of case, would be brought either in the upper tribunal or in the High Court.
So looking at the regulations again, the 2016 regulations governing this sort of situation run concurrently with the 2006 regulations, and the later ones are much stricter on the question of who can appeal a decision on residency.
They certainly are. Khan was a decision under the old regulations, and so it isn't the end of the story. The 2016 regulations are much clearer and much stricter on the issue. They state expressly that the refusal of a residence card to an extended family member does not generate a right of appeal. We're currently in a position where older cases are being decided under the old regulations, but it seems to me that the importance of Khan is going to ebb away as the 2016 regulations take over.
It seems to me now that we are getting to the nub of the question and what is really most interesting about this in contemporary society. What is an extended family member? To whom does this definition extend? And I understand that a number of questions have been referred to the European Court of Justice on this.
Yes, there are two cases which I think are worth talking about. The first is a case called Banga, and this involves, a bit like Saleh, an unmarried partner. In this case, the unmarried partner, a South African, was the partner of a British citizen. And what this means is that three out of the four questions that the upper tribunal has asked the Luxembourg court to decide relate to whether the Surinder Singh principle should be extended to cover a non-married partner. But question four is the one that I think we're interested in today's podcast. And that concerns whether the denial of a right of appeal to an extended family member is consistent with Britain's EU law obligations. In effect, the European Court has to decide whether this bit of the 2016 regulations is lawful. The other case, which I think we should consider, is called SM Algeria, and that was referred only last month by the Supreme Court. That case concerns whether a child in the permanent guardianship of an EU citizen under the Islamic arrangement of kafala, which I understand is a kind of adoption, counts as a family member or an extended family member.
I just want to detain you there, Jonathan, on the wider question of which part of EU law is being said to be infringed in this reference to the Court of Justice.
The important part of European law which needs to be considered is the EU Citizens Directive. And this is the bit of legislation which, if you like, is the sort of grandmother of the regulations that we've been talking about. The regulations are the transposition of the directive into domestic law in this country. And so the question is, do the regulations properly transpose what the directive requires?
That is a very complex and sensitive question of fact and culture and diplomacy, indeed, for the European Court of Justice to decide. And we're now awaiting the outcome of this particular reference to the European Court of Justice. But in the meantime, what is the state of play for a family member, or indeed an extended family member, of a United Kingdom citizen wanting to enter the United Kingdom on the strength of their family membership?
If you're a family member, then it's fairly simple in terms of the right of appeal. If you apply but you're refused a residence card, then you can appeal to the first-tier tribunal. If you're an extended family member, it's a bit more complicated. If the extended family member was refused a residence card and had a right of appeal or a pending appeal on the 31st of January 2017, then they're treated under the old regulations, and the decision in Khan means that they have a right of appeal in the normal way. But if the case is more recent than that, then there is currently no right of appeal under the 2016 regulations. Only judicial review is available. But if you are representing a person in this position, I would suggest bringing a judicial review, at least in part, by contending that your client ought to have received the right of appeal on the basis that the 2016 regulations are unlawful according to EU law. Then you can invite the court to stay the case pending the decision by the European Court in Bangor, which we've talked about.
So, Jonathan, without wishing you to read the entrails of the European Court of Justice and predict what they're going to say, how do you think they, and indeed the Advocate General, will approach this question?
Yes, it's always difficult to think about how these kinds of courts are going to come to these kinds of decisions, and I think this one really is a fascinating issue. I suppose they'll have to think about whether judicial review is enough to ensure that free movement rights are adequately safeguarded. I'd imagine that the Advocate General will be thinking carefully about the differences between a judicial review and an appeal, and then try to work out whether you need a full appeal to get to a proper determination of whether a residence card was wrongly refused. The Advocate General's opinion was supposed to come out in a couple of weeks, but it's been delayed. Once we get that, it may give us a sense of which way the European Court is going to go, although the Advocate General's opinion is not binding on the court. If you like, it's sort of like an exit poll. I think the fact that the Advocate General has asked for more time might mean that this is a quite difficult case to decide. For now, we just have to play the waiting game.
We play the waiting game, as you've rightly advised anybody in this position, and I very much hope that we'll get you back on the podcast to tell us about the Advocate General's opinion when it does come out.
Thank you very much. I'd be delighted.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and recommend us to a friend.